You have to keep in mind, of course, that the budget resolution is just a blueprint for what's going to happen later this year. And certainly one of the most important things about this budget resolution is that it paves the way for consideration of comprehensive health care reform. First, in providing a so-called deficit-neutral reserve fund, which allows the committees in the House and the Senate to produce legislation that will have a mix of changes in spending and revenues. And under this reserve fund, so long as the legislation they produce is deficit neutral, doesn't increase the deficit over the next 10 years, then you won't run afoul of any Budget Act points of order. The second thing the resolution does, though, is it reconciles the committees of jurisdiction in the House of Senate, the committees that have jurisdiction over health legislation, and tells them that they are supposed to report legislation, in this case by October 15th, that the instructions themselves just say to achieve $1 billion of deficit reduction over the next 10 years, but the intent is that they will use this procedure to consider health care reform if they have been unable to move health care reform legislation along under the regular procedures. The big thing here is that under the regular procedures, health reform legislation, even if it's deficit neutral, faces the possibility of a filibuster in the Senate, which would mean that you would need to get 60 out of the 100 senators to cut off debate and move the bill to final passage. Under reconciliation procedures, a reconciliation bill in the Senate cannot be filibustered, which means you'd only need 51 votes, 50 senators plus possibly the vice president, to pass the legislation. So what it does is allow the Congress, if it turns out that a determined minority in the Senate blocks the passage of legislation, to put the legislation into a reconciliation bill where just a majority vote is necessary to pass it.
Didn't that get a little easier with the flip yesterday of Arlen Specter from Republican to Democrat?
There's some chance that that increased the likelihood that you could even get the 60 votes, although it certainly doesn't guarantee it. Even if Al Franken is ultimately seated as senator from Minnesota, while the Democrats at that point would have 60 votes, or actually 59 plus one independent, Joe Lieberman, not necessarily all 60 of those would vote to cut off debate. It's certainly possible that some Democratic senators would find the legislation not to his or her liking and wouldn't be willing to cut off the debate. So I think even with the switch of Senator Specter from Republican to Democratic, and he was a possibility as a vote for cloture even if he stayed on the Republican side, but even with his switch, it is still possible that you would need to be able to do the health care legislation in a form where it only needs a majority vote.
Is the House version and the Senate version of this bill similar? Are they the same, or are we still talking about a conference committee this has to go through? What's the process we're looking at here?
What they're voting on today is the product of a conference committee. Several weeks ago, about 4 weeks ago, the House and Senate did pass somewhat different versions of the budget resolution. They weren't dramatically different, but they did have some differences. And a conference committee over the last week and a half worked out those differences. So what's going to be voted on in the House this morning, probably by the Senate later today, is a compromise version where the House and Senate have agreed on it.
Now, doesn't the budget resolution bill as well set kind of limits over each appropriations committee in terms of how much money they're allocated?
The other key thing that is done in this budget resolution is to set the overall level of what's called discretionary spending, which is simply the spending that is controlled through the annual appropriations process. And the resolution will set that total. It's then up to the Appropriations Committee to decide how to divide that up among the 12 subcommittees, and then for each of the 12 subcommittees to decide which appropriation accounts get the money. But the budget resolution is a really important step because it says here's the total. You cannot exceed this amount unless it's some emergency that comes up that's unanticipated and you have to go over it. But for the regular appropriations, this will set the level. So it sets about $530 billion for non-defense programs and $556 billion for defense programs for fiscal year 2010.
We're talking this morning to James Horney, Director of Federal Fiscal Policy at the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. So just to take that thought one step further, does this budget resolution contain that PAYGO provision that they were debating back and forth?
It does not contain PAYGO per se. The House and Senate each have in place a PAYGO rule, just a rule of the House, rule of the Senate, that is in place, but has been waived in some circumstances. There was a debate during the consideration of this conference report. The House Blue Dogs, moderate Democrats, have been pushing for a return to the statutory PAYGO rule that was in place in the 1990s.
Which basically says you can't spend unless you find a way to cut or raise taxes.
What it says is that if you want to increase mandatory or so-called entitlement spending, or you want to cut taxes, that has to be offset by increases in other taxes or reductions in other mandatory spending. And as I say, it was in place in statutory form during the 90s. It expired in 2002. And the Blue Dogs would very much like to see the statutory version reinstated. And they did get provisions into the resolution that give big encouragement to the House to pass that. The question is whether the Senate would eventually go along with that or not. The Senate has raised some objections to it. So one of the interesting things as we go forward this year is what is going to happen to statutory PAYGO. The resolution itself cannot include statutory PAYGO because a budget resolution isn't a law. It's a concur resolution that only requires agreement between the House and Senate. The President never has an opportunity to sign or veto. And so, therefore, it cannot change the law.
How much weight does it give that the president over the weekend called for a return to PAYGO? He talked about a number of different government reform initiatives, and PAYGO was one of them. Does that give those Blue Dog Democrats and other people who are for this type of process a little more momentum, or are we not going to see it?
I think it gives a big boost. It still doesn't guarantee that it will happen. Again, in the Senate, to get anything done, you need 60 votes unless it's a budget resolution or in a reconciliation bill. And for some sort of complicated technical reasons, you can't include statutory PAYGO in a reconciliation bill. And as I already said, it can't be in a budget resolution. So you need 60 votes. But I think the president's support gave it a big boost. And I think that played a role in the Blue Dog Democrats in the House being willing to go along with the budget resolution because they knew that they had the support of the president for the statutory PAYGO, which gives them an increased likelihood that will get enacted, but certainly not a given.
Well, how does the resolution, Mr. Horney, deal with the issue of the energy status of the country? There have been some debate about cap and trade, which basically allows companies to pay for using additional emissions credits and other companies to be paid for that process. Where does that stand in the midst of all this?
The resolution includes another so-called deficit neutral reserve fund for energy and climate change policy, just like the health care policy, which will allow the committees of jurisdiction to consider legislation, and it could involve cap and trade. It can involve other changes in energy policy, again, so long as the legislation that they produce is deficit neutral, which is what the president proposed. The president proposed both health care reform and climate change and energy policy should be done on a deficit neutral basis. Now, the one difference here is they have a deficit neutral reserve fund, but the leaders in the House and Senate made it clear they do not intend that the reconciliation process be used for climate change policy. So the budget resolution facilitates the consideration, but it doesn't change the fact that the legislation would require 60 votes in the Senate to enact.